Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Episode 89 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Tyler Yaremchuk and Cam Lewis with you. Coombsy. Another L. I know, like, it's not technically back-to-back series losses because they split against Baltimore. It's not technically three straight series losses because they split against Baltimore. But it feels like three straight series losses because the split against Baltimore is basically an L. Things didn't get better against the Chicago White Sox for our beloved Toronto Blue Jays.
No, we're in the exact same situation now where we're feeling good about avoiding a sweep. That's how we felt against the Yankees. They pulled off the epic comeback. It was very exciting. And then apparently they were going to go into Chicago with all the momentum. Mm-hmm. But then they wound up losing two games and they avoid the sweep on Wednesday. But I don't know. It wasn't a terrible series. It was more of a frustrating one. It was especially that second game. That was an infuriating experience. Just awful.
Yeah. Even the first game, like Biggio hits that dinger in the ninth and you're like, all right, they got it within one. The top of the order is coming up. Like it really felt like that was going to be a moment where, you know, they pull out a big win. We talked about them keeping the momentum going from that win against New York, them finding a way to have a ninth inning comeback in game one of that series against Chicago. That would have done that. Instead, no, you don't get it. Whatever. You can never blame a team for not pulling off a miracle comeback. But then it's looking back on game one is more frustrating because of how the Jays blew it in game two of that series. And we're going to get into that with three up, three down here. I know. Yeah. Let's start with the bullpen actually. Cause I just, that's from game two. And that's just beyond annoying. Like how you don't find a way to hold on and win that baseball game when you had so many chances to win that baseball game. Like you look at the box score and there's three blown saves written down. That cannot be happening to a team that has World Series aspirations.
Yeah, it was super disappointing to see because, I mean, on the last podcast, we were praising the fuck out of Jordan Romano for his excellent save against the Yankees. Yeah. And then he comes in. There's a 2-run lead there in the ninth inning. The Blue Jays have given him with their kind of late game 8-inning rally. And it was surprising to see. It was two outs. He was right there and then just completely imploded. And then, you know, Tim Mesa comes in. They score their ghost runner, and then he allows the ghost runner to score. And then all of a sudden, you're in a situation where you have to use Matt Gage in the extra innings. And to be fair to Matt Gage, he's been quite good since coming up, but that's not really who you want to be using in these do or die situations. But that's just the reality with the Jays bullpen right now, is there aren't very many options that are getting outs. And in all three games, we saw the bullpen was bad. And you talk about the near comeback in game one. Well, after Jose Berríos had his terrible start, in which he only goes four innings, David Phelps comes in for mop-up duty and allows two runs in the fifth inning. And that the two runs in that inning wind up being the difference and the Blue Jays can't execute the comeback. And then in the third game, they have a 9-1 lead. Phelps again comes in, allows a run. Then Adam Simber comes in. He only gets one out. The only reliable reliever the Blue Jays had this entire weekend was Trent Thornton, who came in and scored. He throws two scoreless innings in the first game. That's what allows them to kind of do this comeback. And then in the third game, he cleans up Simber's mess and the White Sox have the tying run at the plate.
Yeah.
And Thornton was the only guy that was getting people out this week.
The extra layer of frustration there for me is like coming into this season, I thought we had fair reason to believe the bullpen would be better, right? Simber was solid last year. Richards, solid last year. Romano, Tim Meza coming back. And then you even added Jimmy Garcia. And it's like, okay, you at least have like this core of guys who should be dependable for you in the bullpen. And in that loss where the bullpen's at fault again, you had all your dependable guys. Like, it's not like it was, okay, we had to use the bullpen the last three games. Our big guns were great. We can't use them tonight. We need to try get through with our list of B or C level relievers. It's like, no, man, you went Simber, Garcia, Romano. Like, that's your recipe for winning ball games, is to go Simber, Garcia, Romano. And those three didn't get it done. That just adds another layer to like how badly they need to go out and get a bullpen arm quick. Like, you cannot keep waiting because it's actively costing you baseball games.
No, there's no real reason to keep waiting. It was right around this time last year they went and made the Simber trade with Miami in the first place. That was on June the 29th. They traded Joe Panik and a random prospect for Simber. That's a great trade. About a week later, at the beginning of early in July, they go and get Trevor Richards. That's in a kind of a different trade. It's a change of scenery trade where they give Milwaukee Rowdy Tellez and they got Richards and the prospect Bowen Francis back. So two kind of different trades. And to be fair to the Blue Jays, it's a bit of a different situation this year because there's an extra playoff team in each league. So teams are slightly less inclined to sell. But that being said, like, you're a win now team staring down the barrel of playing the Red Sox, who are on fucking fire, and the Rays in a 5-game series that features a doubleheader. Like, that's 8 huge games against teams that are within like a game or two of you in the division. Like, you have to be winning those games and you can't be blowing them. So even if it costs a premium because less teams are selling, you have to pay the premium and go out and fix this mess. This is the time they did it last year. They have to do it again.
Yeah, there's just no more excuses at this point. Like, it's not like you can sit there and be like, it'll sort itself out. Like, we're fine. We can wait till the deadline. Like, also, the deadline's only a month away. It's not like we're crazy early in the season. I know they dropped this line on the broadcast, but like, it's getting late early for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I know the extra wild card spot, like, thank God that exists because it buys them a little bit of extra leeway in terms of the playoff race. But, you know, when you look at one of Cleveland or Minnie are likely going to win that division, the other one's going to be a wild card team. And then you basically have Toronto, Boston, and Tampa, like, between the leftover team in the AL Central there and Toronto, Boston, Tampa, one of those teams is going to miss. And if you're the Jays, the Rays are the team right now that's 2 games back you. I know there's Minnesota and Toronto as that buffer, but the point is it's tight. It's not like the Jays can just waltz their way into the playoffs because there's the extra team. It's going to be close. And if going out and getting right now an extra reliever is the difference between 1 or 2 blown saves in the next month or 1 or 2 complete bullpen implosions in the next month, That's incredibly impactful when you look at this race. So they got to go out and do it. I think everyone listening to this would agree with that. It's not like we're giving any sort of hot take that people are going to roll their eyes at. They need a bullpen arm, and it's simple as that.
Yeah, the only way that I would have sat here and argued that is if Nate Pearson were in Buffalo killing it, striking everybody out, and looks like he can come up and be the game-changing arm the Blue Jays need. Well, it looks like that's not going to happen because Pearson left his most recent rehab outing in AAA Buffalo with some kind of injury. No idea what it is or how long it's going to be, but since it's Nate Pearson and it's cursed, and he's just a cursed player at this point, it's pretty fair to assume that it's going to be, you know, something more than just him missing a day or two. That's a reasonable assumption to make, I think. So yeah, you're right. They have to go external. The answer's not in Buffalo. Like, whoever's come up, Jeremy Beasley is killing it down there. He's at the big league level. Casey Lawrence is a mop-up guy. Max Castillo allows 2 home runs in his first outing. Like, I get it's the Yankees, but there really just isn't an arm down in AAA Buffalo where you're like, you know what? Yeah, this guy can come up and pitch in the 7th inning. It's just not there.
It's not there. The second down we have for 3-up, 3-down is the absolute ump show we saw in game 2 of that series. That's one of the most... one of the most mind-blowing performances behind the plate I think I've ever seen in my time as a baseball fan. I know those Twitter accounts have been breaking down. There's all of them with the ump scorecards and stuff, but he was what? That 84%, 83% or some dumb shit like that? Like, how? How are you that bad? And that call on Santiago Espinal that went viral is one of the most egregious strike calls I think I've ever seen in Major League Baseball.
It was just weird watching because, now to be fair, I'm not going to say the Blue Jays, it obviously didn't help them, but I'm not going to say the Jays lost that game because of the umpiring, because the umpiring was bad for both teams. I think it was more bad for the Jays and the White Sox, but Jays pitchers were even getting some weird calls where it's like, it's not even like an inch or two outside the zone. It looked like it was like 6-7 inches, like outside. Santiago Espinal, like you said, was the guy who just kept on getting the worst of it. Like pitches that were out of the box, like slightly below his knees or like being called a strike. It seemed like everything the pitchers threw at him, if it was anywhere near the plate, if the catcher didn't have to like dive to catch it, that it was going to be called a strike against Santiago Espinal. And I have no idea how he didn't lose his fucking mind in that game. I would have, he stayed so stunningly composed.
Cause I feel like it's just so bad that you can't help but like chuckle at it in your head and be like, wow, like I'm actually getting jobbed that bad. The Twitter account Ump Scorecards, Doug Eddings' total run impact of 5.89 runs in a single game is the fifth highest of all time. The fifth worst umpired game ever was that game. Game two, Chicago, Toronto in the middle of June. Like, I couldn't believe
it. How many other Jays games are on that list? Do you have the list of the worst games of all time, or did they just say it was the fifth?
I just read their tweet.
Because I remember there was a list earlier this season, and I probably looked at it in early June or late May, and it had the worst umpire games by their impact this season, and the Blue Jays had like three of the top six. Because one of them was the one in New York where Jimmy Garcia got kicked out. And then there was the other one at home in Toronto when Vladdy tagged a guy on his way home and he didn't get called out. And there's been a whole bunch of bad strike zone games too. But
if you go purely by strike zone and called wrong on the umpscorecards.com, the top two games this season for most incorrect calls was game two, Chicago, Toronto, and then Toronto, Oakland as well with Jeff Nelson when he missed 22 calls. Oh yeah, calls.
I remember that one. That's the weird strike zone game.
Yeah. So yeah, Toronto has definitely been impacted by umpires a few times this season. And how good was it to see Guillermo Martinez go out before the game? And like, Dan said it on the broadcast. Guillermo doesn't typically do the lineup cards. So he was clearly sent out there for one reason, and that was to give Edding a piece of his mind.
You think they just sat around and picked who was going to do that? Do you think Guillermo was like passionate, like, I want to do this, I want to tell this guy off? Or was it more like maybe Charlie or Pete Walker are more likely to be suspended, that kind of thing? Like, what do you think went into that?
I was going to say the suspension thing. I feel like Guillermo has the leeway as a guy he hasn't been kicked out this season or anything like that.
Charlie's been kicked out four times and Pete's been kicked out twice.
Yeah. I feel like if Pete, after getting kicked out in game two, went out there for game three for the lineup card, there either would have been fist thrown, suspensions, or both. Like, I just don't feel it. I feel like Guillermo, maybe they trusted a little bit more to just like go out there, say his piece, get kicked out, sit in the clubhouse, and like it's over. I feel like Pete, maybe you don't want him to push his temper that much.
Guillermo got his money's worth out of it. Yeah. Like, he went in there and he was like poking him in the chest and getting up in his face. It was great to see it. It definitely fired the Jays up for the third game because they went nuclear, man. Like, it was the best game they played in quite a while.
Yeah. The defense was excellent. We'll get into that. Actually, we'll save the game three talk in for just a second, but circling back for our third down, another rough outing for Jose Berríos, who continues to just be inconsistent for the Jays this season. And it's so disappointing because you get him, you acquire him, you sign him, and you think perfect. Like, that's one of those worry-free spots in the rotation. It's been anything but. Like, he was good against Detroit a couple of weeks ago, and then it was, you know, a missed start against the Orioles where he gave up three earned to Baltimore, and even though he went seven, I'd like to see him not give up three earned to the Orioles. And then he just implodes again against the White Sox. Just says, do you see anything here? Is there any rhyme or reason to this, or is this just a guy who's struggling?
I'm not a good enough analyst when it comes to the nitty gritty of pitchers. Like, I'm not going to see their axis at which they're throwing the ball or different things, but it's just been a weird thing for Berríos where he puts together like a handful of good games and then just implodes. And I wondered earlier in the season if it was like a nagging injury, perhaps like a blister or sore arm or something like that. He was just kind of grinding through, but his stuff all seems fine. It really seems like a fairly similar process in all these starts. Like, he does the same thing against Detroit that he did against the White Sox. But I guess the reality is the White Sox are a deeper lineup than the Tigers are. And that's potentially where we could kind of see what's going on here. The other thing here is that the White Sox have done well against Berríos in his career, whether because they saw him so much, obviously, with him being in the Central Division with the Twins. And even when he was with the Twins, he struggled with the White Sox. So maybe it's just a thing where all of these guys have Berríos' number. But fuck, who knows? Like, we've made so many weird excuses for this guy this season. Like, I'm digging so deep to come up with random reasons why he would be struggling. And I really just have nothing. I'm at a point with Berríos right now where every start for with him coming in as a coin flip. You have no idea if this is going to be a gem or if he's going to get completely lit up.
Yeah, I mean, you go through his game logs, like his earned runs allowed through his last starts, 6-3, 1-2, 6-3, 0-5, 6. Like, you're right. It's just an app. You don't know what you're getting. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's not like it's a good start, then a bad start, then a good start, then a bad start. It's just seemingly totally random. And for the Jays and one of their aces, you could say, or a guy who you thought maybe would be their ace this season, Jose Berríos. Yeah. For a 5.11 ERA. Man, eesh, not good. Not good. Let's get into the ups, though, because they did manage to salvage the series in a way. You avoid the sweep. And again, we complained about how bad they are on the travel days when they play afternoon in the middle of the week. But they put that to bed a little bit. And a big reason why is because the bats got going early. It was the Bobichet Grand Slam. It was Alejandro Kirk doing his thing. I think Dan Shulman had the line that, you know, the White Sox are going to be seeing Alejandro Kirk in their nightmares. He was great. Like, in that third game, you watch the Jays do that, where there's just different parts of the lineup finding ways to chip in. Like, Gabriel Moreno's batting ninth, he's going 2-for-4. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is batting eighth, he's going 2-for-4, driving in a run. You just look at that and you go, why can we not get this more consistently?
Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, okay, the Jays come in and they put up what, like 20 some odd runs, 22 runs on the White Sox across three games. And the White Sox are a team that pitches quite well. I mean, they have good starters. They have a decent bullpen. You know, they have a handful of good arms, and they're not really a team that allows 22 runs in three games. And the Jays come in and do that to them after, I mean, shut down by the Yankees, that's one thing, whatever. After they had kind of an up and down go with the Baltimore Orioles, like, there's that one game where they only scored two runs on Baltimore, and you're like, what the fuck is happening? It's kind of the same thing with Berríos. It's like each game, you really just don't know what's going to happen or who's going to show up. The weird thing with the Jays is they're a righty heavy lineup, and you'd think they'd struggle with, you know, power right-handed pitchers. That makes sense. But then throughout the weeks, we've seen them struggle with just like guys that throw junk, guys that throw soft, like lefties. It's shocking. But then they have games like they did on Wednesday where it looks like, yeah, this is the lineup from last year. This is the lineup from 2015. I mean, I guess ultimately at the end of the day, at least they are coming through significantly more often than not now. Whereas back in April, we were like, are they ever going to wake up? At least more often than not, they're going. So I don't think the offense is really all too much of a concern. The pitching is definitely what worries me more at this point than the bats.
100%. And I mean, it was great to see them come alive in a winning effort in the third game against Chicago, but they were good. I mean, they scored 13 runs in the first two games. Like, if the pitching comes through, we're sitting here talking about a series where the Jays bats are tremendous and they probably sweep the White Sox again, but it just wasn't meant to be. The pitching didn't hold up for them. But the bats, really no complaints at all there. You can go through every game. It's great to see Teoscar continue to hit well. He had the over in the second game, but he had a dinger. He had a couple hits in the first game too. Just a really good series from Teoscar again. And I like watching this guy get going. Like, if he's hot, it's going to do wonders.
Yeah, this is
my boy. Second podcast I've said it. I know, but he's my boy.
You said it. You said carbon copy the exact same
thing. I know. But like,
bring it up each time. Every time he hits a dinger, just be like, it's great to see this guy ripping.
I love him, man. Just like the smile and all of that, like the way he is in the dugout throwing the seeds and shit. I just think it's all so good. His vibe is tremendous. And when he struggles, like, he wears his heart on his sleeve in a way where, like, when he's striking out, you can like see the frustration in him. And I don't know, I just relate to that. I always feel for him when he's struggling. So when he's hitting well, I like to celebrate it, you know?
Yeah, I see the frustration in you when I'm speaking on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Every fan has that guy though, right? Like the one player who their success just like means a little bit more. Like, you root for them a little bit harder than you do the other guys. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. It's valid.
Third up, one guy you root for a lot is Ross Stripling. Huh?
I do. I've really come around on this one. I was really, really hard. This is why I feel like I should go out of my way to praise Stripling now when he's good, is that I was so critical of this trade when they made it. I thought it was really bizarre. They were giving up a couple of decent prospects for a sixth starter, but now they're in this situation where, Hyunjin Ryu's arm fell off. So they're down a starter, and Stripling had been good in the bullpen. And now he comes in and fills that role just lickety split. And he's been unbelievably good. He's been, in the mask month or so, he's been probably their second most reliable starter behind Alek Manoah. It's not just they're getting number five starting from Stripling. He's coming in and throwing four innings and allowing two runs. That's nice. No, he's coming in against the White Sox on a day in which they just went 13 innings and used their whole bullpen, and he goes and gives them six. That's fantastic. Six innings, one earned run, strikes out five hits, one walk. That is much better than number five stuff.
They were talking on the broadcast about, do you look to maybe extend him before we even get to the offseason? I think that's maybe a little bit premature from each side. If I'm the Jays, I'm probably going, even if Ross Stripling keeps it up all year, is he going to price himself out of our range? Probably not, if we really want to bring him back. And if you're Ross Stripling and you're having a great year halfway through, why would you want to settle on it? Right? No, man. See if you can do it for a whole year. And maybe there's 10 teams this winter who are damn, we should be trying to bring this guy in.
Yeah, man. In a world where Yusei Kikuchi gets, 36 mil over 3 years from the Jays? Steve Matz got a 4-year deal after his pretty good season with the Jays last year. If Stripling keeps doing this all year and they don't get another starter and he just keeps starting, kind of 2015 Marco Estrada type thing, where he moves from being the long guy, whatever, into the starting rotation when there's an injury, and he just goes and continues to be good, someone's going to give him that 3 or 4 year deal. I mean, the Jays, if qualifying offers still exist, that's still up in the air because of the lockout. If qualifying offers still exist, you probably want to qualify him, right? We went through this with Matz last year, and it looks maybe did the Jays fuck up by not giving Matz a qualifying offer, because it seems like there was enough interest in him on the market that somebody would assign him regardless. But who knows? There's obviously a long, long season left, and this is kind of insane to talk about, but Stripling has worked his way into the discussion of being certainly more than just a random arm in the bullpen, that's for sure.
Trent Thornton gets our third up. We kind of hit on that a little bit earlier on. The only reliable piece of this bullpen, why not make him the closer?
Yes, sure. Why the fuck not? Yesterday, everybody was Trent Thornton's coming in with the tying run at the plate. He's going to fuck it up. And then no, he doesn't. He gets the next two guys out. And then it was the same thing in the Monday game. He's the only guy not allowing runs. And he's the pitcher when the Jays are pulling off their comeback. So Trent's never fooled us before, and he never will. So you clearly have a very reliable reliever here, and they should probably just make him the closer.
All right, that's going to do it for 3 Up, 3 Down. Shout out to our friends at DoorDash. Promo code BJNPODDD gets you 25% off and no delivery fees on your first order. Where's my button? Come on. Oh, there you go. Coomzee. I know. Coomzee, let's do this. Alejandro Kirk is in the driver's seat.
Yes.
For the catching position at the All-Star game. I love it. You see 4 Jays in there in the fan vote. It's great. It's a fan vote, though, right? It's not like this is a bunch of panelists or insiders or managers from around the league voting on who should be in the All-Star game. It's fans deciding it, which makes it extra hilarious that there are Yankees fans melting down about a fan vote in the All-Star game.
Yeah, it's really, we kind of touched on this after the Yankees series. We were making fun of them. New York is currently 51-18. They're on pace to win, I think, 130 games now. And if this keeps going, there's a debate to say that they have the best regular season of all time. Whatever happens in the playoffs, it is what it is. But at this pace, they're potentially going to have the best regular season of all time.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine having that and getting to watch it. And while that's happening, Yankees fans are logging onto the internet and melting down that Alejandro Kirk is leading the voting for the American League catcher position at the All-Star game. And this is a guy who's got the best weighted runs created plus among catchers. Why wouldn't he be? And they're spazzing out being like, oh, Jose Trevino should be in this spot. No, he shouldn't. That's a backup catcher. The fuck are you talking about? Who cares? Your team's on pace to win 130 games. Why are you worrying about the All-Star game? It's embarrassing.
It is. I liked the one response we got to the last podcast when people said us ripping on Yankees fans was like cringy and they just totally didn't understand what we were even talking about. This one, I think Yankees fans melting down is cringy. Like, again, one, Kirk has a good case. It's not like this is some random backup catcher just getting votes because like a fan base thinks it'll be funny to see him in the All-Star game. Like if Alejandro Kirk doesn't get voted in, which he probably will, even if he doesn't, there's a good argument for him to be there on merit. So it's not an insane thing that Alejandro Kirk is getting this chance. He's deserved it. He just had another great series against the Chicago White Sox where he faced some good pitchers and did some damage. So I do not understand why people freak out about this. This is the same in every sport though, right? People are like, oh, let's debate the All-Star teams. And it's like, it doesn't matter. If my team was on pace for 130 wins, if my team was on pace for 100 wins or 110 wins, I'd be sitting there being like, you know what? None of you go rest. Who gives a shit about some random baseball game that happens the night before the fucking ESPYs? Like, it doesn't matter. It's entertaining to watch. And if Vladdy wins All-Star Game MVP, we'll sit here on the pod and clap and give him his praise. But like, it doesn't matter. The regular season matters. And what matters even less than the All-Star Game is the fan vote that decides who starts and plays the first inning. Like, it's just such nonsense.
But that being said, given how rattled fans are about this, and there was that MLB Nerds account was making a big scene about how the people needed to go vote against the Jays because it's not fair because Canada has so many people. Apparently, there's 36 what? Million people in Canada, and I'm fairly certain 36 million people also live in New York. Apparently the Blue Jays have an unfair advantage because they have the whole country backing them. So now because of that, I think it's worthwhile for everyone to go and vote for literally fucking everyone on the Jays. Like get Danny Jansen is in as the DH. Like who cares? Just get everybody in. Do like Kansas City in 2015. Was it 2015 or 14? I think it was 15. They hosted the All-Star game and they got everybody in. Like the only non-Kansas City guy was like Mike Trout. They had Omar Infante, Kendrys Morales. Like the one guy that didn't get in, I think, was Alex Rios. It was the whole team otherwise. The whole starting lineup.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just, while you were talking, I looked up this MLB Nerds account and they literally tweeted, I am calling upon all non-Blue Jays fans, vote for Buxton, Anderson, Torres, France, respectively, over Springer, Bichette, Espinal, and Guerrero. Don't let non-deserving players win because they're backed by a country.
Non-deserving players? What? Like Vladdy Jr. is one of the faces of baseball.
Yeah, like what are you talking
George
about?
Springer? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, this isn't when the Canucks fans were trying to get Roy Fitzpatrick into the All-Star game. You know, this is the face of baseball. Another star young shortstop, a guy that just signed a $150 million contract. Sure, you can make the argument for Espinal, I guess, but fuck, he's a random breakout guy having a good season. Like, it's cool if people are trying to get him into the All-Star game. It's a cool thing. It's more interesting than seeing whatever Yankee Gleyber Torres there, like, okay, what?
And then this guy goes and tweets out his ballot, which is all the Yankees starting nine. Like, all right, big guy. Anyways,
What a nerd.
Yeah, what a nerd.
Fucking nerd.
Let's get into our look ahead, brought to you by our friends at PointsBet Canada. The Jays bats were solid against Chicago. They're going to need to continue to be solid because there is a game on Saturday where the Jays will be sending Yusei Kikuchi to the bump and the Brewers are responding with Corbin Burns. Bit of a mismatch. Little bit.
Hey, wait. To be fair, in last Sunday's game, the Blue Jays sent Yusei Kikuchi up against Garrett Cole. Wait, was it Garrett Cole? No, it was Luis Severino. That's what it was, right? Yeah, okay, that's not quite as extreme. Never mind. I take it back.
I just think you look at that matchup and it's like, ooh, it's hard to imagine the Blue Jays winning that game.
I was trying to throw Yusei Kikuchi a bone and be like, well, he's come through for them in the past, but no, that's yuck.
We get to see our boy Rowdy Tellez.
Yep. Rowdy has become a pretty good hitter. He's still kind of Rowdy Tellez. He's pretty inconsistent. He's got a 795 OPS. He's hit 11 bombs. His strikeout to walks is what's gotten quite a bit better. He's got 54 strikeouts to 23 walks. I remember even when things were going well for him on the Jays, it was lots and lots and lots of strikeouts. Like in 2021, it was before they made the trade, 33 strikeouts to 9 walks. And that's kind of what made it difficult to keep trotting him out there. The other challenge for the Jays with Rowdy Tellez was they couldn't really operate with him just being the DH at all times because they don't really do the traditional DH thing. They like to rotate a guy, whether it's Springer, Bo Bichette, Gurriel, Kirk now, because you have three good catchers on your roster. It was just never going to fit. It's just unfortunate that Trevor Richards has completely fallen off a cliff because last year that trade was like, oh yeah, you know what? Like both teams got a good player here. They're both guys are contributing, but now Richards is a pumpkin and Tellez is exactly what the Blue Jays need. So that sucks. But the reality for Rowdy is it just wasn't a fit with Vladdy at first. So be happy the guy's doing well. Yeah. He's a cool dude.
Yeah, as much as you'd love to have a lefty bat like Rowdy in your lineup, I would argue that using the DH is more of a rest spot for guys and ways to wiggle in all your skilled catchers. I think that's just a better use of the position. Do they need a lefty bat on their bench? Yes, that would benefit them. But it just, if you want to use hindsight, sure, you can sit there and be like, they should have never done that deal. But last year probably looks a lot differently if you don't have Trevor Richards as a solid option in your bullpen. So it's, you know, yeah, looking back on it, sure, maybe the Jays lost the deal. But last season, no one was saying that. So it's kind of just whatever. It's a revisionist thing. The Jays going Manoah, Kikuchi, Berríos this weekend. For me, the big pressure is on game one. You got to win the start where you have Alek Manoah on. And, you know, if that means the offense has to score 7 because Manoah gives up 4 or 5, sure. If that means the offense only needs to score 3 because Manoah's great, which I fully expect him to be, absolutely. Don't care how it even gets done, if Manoah's great or not is my point. But you need to win that game, probably the one game this series where you have the advantage on the bump.
Yeah, that's the one where you're like, okay, we're going to pull this because then, like you said, it's the Kikuchi and Burns game, which, that might be a... a day to take off. And then Sunday it's Berríos. So Lord knows what you're going to get in that start. You might get 7 innings and 13 strikeouts, or you might get 4 innings and 5 earned runs and 1 strikeout. Who knows what you're going to get? Something in the middle, maybe. But Manoah's the game you got to win there. You also would really like to win this series, given you just lost to the White Sox. You want to go 3-3 on the trip because you're staring down the barrel of 3 against the Red Sox and then 5 against the Rays, a 5-game series against the Rays. Terrible, terrible, terrible times.
Kikuchi versus Burns. Ay. I might book a tea time and just like keep track of the game on my phone that afternoon. We're being very hard on Yusei Kikuchi. They're going to win and people are going to tweet us and be like, you fucking jackasses. What's wrong with you?
Well, if they made it that far on the podcast to hear these takes, that's a positive. I'll just take it.
Yeah. Congrats on making it to the 31 minute and 16 second mark, everybody. I'm incredibly proud of you.
Very good. We appreciate it.
I don't know. Shout out to our friends at PointsBet Canada. I don't know what the odds are going to be for that Saturday game. The Jays will be underdogs. So you know what? I'll send a good omen out there. I will put my own money on the Blue Jays to win the Kikuchi versus Burns game.
Are you going to?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it for the people. I feel like I put out bad vibes by playing the Price is Right losing horn when I said the matchup. So I'm gonna put good vibes out there. I'm gonna bet on the Jays to win, and I'll do a same game points bet Canada parlay with like Kikuchi over 3.5 strikeouts. So there you go.
No, you gotta do something crazy. Be like a three-way parlay that's like the Jays win. Kikuchi goes more than 5.5 innings and he strikes out like more than 8.
9 case.
What? Yeah, you can like just a masterclass from Kikuchi.
Yep.
Do that.
All right. Shout out to DoorDash. Shout out to PointsBet Canada. Shout out to you, Coomzy. You enjoy this series and we'll chat on the weekend.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.